Hello, y'all. It's Snacks for the Brain. This is Scott Merrick from the Vanderbilt University Center for Science Outreach, bringing you episode 24 of Snacks for the Brain. In this episode, we'll share some audio excerpts from some amazing IVC, that's interactive video conferencing, sessions it's been my privilege to facilitate over the past 3 years through an ongoing program called Via Dyer. Working research scientists have connected with students K-12 all over the world. Here's Hubble Space Telescope pioneer Dr. Bob Odell answering a few questions from the sixth graders in a rural Tennessee classroom in the fall of 2004 after presenting a wonderful session on the topic of astronomical observatories.
If the sun exploded, what?
Would we have 8 minutes to live?
We wouldn't have that long because we wouldn't know it until we saw it, and then it'd be too late. But you don't need to worry because that won't happen until about another 5 billion years from now. So not to worry. How about the boy in the white shirt in the back with the
what, Macaulay?
His hand up.
How long have you been an astronomer? Was the question.
Well, actually, I became interested in astronomy in the sixth grade, and that was a long time ago, because I remember having to write a one-page essay, you know, on the theme, what I wanted to be doing 25 years from then. So everybody in the room had to write what they wanted to be doing in 25 years. And I said, I wanted to be an astronomer observing with a 200-inch telescope. So my interest in astronomy started exactly your age. And I'm now 67, and you're not. You're about 12. So I've been interested in astronomy essentially all my life, and it's been fun. I don't regret it a bit.
Anything?
Say thank you, so we can get back to our test.
Thank you.
It's been fun.
Excellent. Feel free to email us at dyer.vanderbilt.edu. Thank you so much for joining us on behalf of the Vanderbilt Center for Science Outreach and Dr. Odell from Dyer Observatory. Have a great day.
Thank you.
We
enjoyed it.
And here's Vanderbilt Professor Emeritus of Astronomy Dr. Arnie Heiser answering questions of New Jersey middle schoolers and students from an urban Tennessee parochial school after his spring 2004 presentation on the birth of stars.
Anything else you might like to ask?
How old is Halley's Comet?
How old is Halley's Comet?
Yes.
Oh, well, Comet Halley, we think, was first seen back about 2,000 years ago by some Chinese astronomers, and there may even be some records of Comet Halley seen by civilizations at the time of the Greeks. Comet Halley has been around for a long time. It has made many passes around the sun, and the last one, as you're probably aware of, was in 1986, nearly 20 years ago, and it'll be back again in 50 years or so from now, so you get a chance to see it again. But Comet Halley is slowly dying also, and the reason that Comet Halley is dying, like all comets eventually die, is that every time it passes by the sun, it loses material, because the energy of the sun essentially evaporates some of the gases, evaporates and burns up, you might say, some of the rocky parts of the comet. And so probably, though this is an estimate that's speculative estimate made by other astronomers, it probably only has about 20 more passes of the sun before it completely dissipates itself and becomes a whole bunch of dust and gas floating around in the solar system. But it is an example of a long-term comet, long-term periodic comet, coming back every 75 years or so from the last 2,000 years that we know about it. Another question?
How long does it take until a star dies? For a star to die, how long does it take?
Well, star death depends on how big the star was when it formed. We've already said that the sun's lifetime, it's already lived 4.5 billion years. It's going to live another 6-7 billion years. So the whole total lifetime of the sun is probably something of the order of 12 to 13 billion years. But the star formation process, the birthing process, can make stars of all different sizes. Stars that are smaller than the sun, maybe 10% the size of the sun. Stars bigger than the sun, maybe 40 or 50 times the size of the sun. But the bigger the star that's formed from a fragmenting molecular cloud, the bigger the star that's formed, the shorter its lifetime is. Now, that sounds very counterintuitive. You think the more material that's in a star, the longer it would last. But that's not the way it works. Now, the way it works is that you start out with something bigger than the sun, its lifetime is shorter. So, for example, those stars that you saw in the middle of the Orion Nebula, those bright stars in the middle of the Orion Nebula, which were formed only a few tens, hundreds of thousands of years ago, are going to have a very short lifetime. And they'll be dead stars in approximately 4 or 5 million years from now. So how long a star lives depends on how much matter it starts with. Now, how long the dying process is? The dying process, in the sense that when it uses up all its material and fusion processes, is about 10% or 15% of its total lifetime. So in the case of the sun, the dying phase, let's say, is 10% of its lifetime. So of the 13 billion years, the dying phase is essentially 2 billion years or so. That is the time it starts dying until it dies completely. Another question or two?
I have a question. If when it's daylight, you can only see certain stars, you know, bright lights, like the stars really close. Well, we obviously can't see a lot of stars because of the sunlight. In the nighttime, we see a lot of stars. Why can't we see an awful lot of stars in the daytime if they're so bright?
Well, the main reason is the Earth's atmosphere. Sunlight, when it passes through the Earth's atmosphere, it gets essentially reflected. It gets refracted. And you know why the sky is blue. Can somebody tell me why the sky is blue? In the daytime.
No, they can't.
They can't. Okay. The sky is blue in the daytime because the blue light from the sun is essentially scattered by the molecules in the Earth's atmosphere. So you see blue light in the daytime because all the blue light from the sun is scattered from the Earth's molecules, the oxygen, the nitrogen that's in the Earth's atmosphere. If the Earth had no atmosphere, for example, if you were on the space station or you went up on a shuttle mission or you went to the Hubble telescope or anything like that, you'd see stars all the time because there's no atmosphere that will make blue sky when you're 100 miles or 150 miles above the Earth's atmosphere. So that we can't see stars in the daytime, generally speaking, simply because of the sun's light is making the sky look blue, and the contrast between the sun's blue light and the sky is such that you can't see stars in the daytime. That's not strictly true. If you have a small little telescope and you know where, for example, a star like Sirius is, which is the brightest star in the sky, you could probably find it in a small telescope and probably see it just barely in the middle of the day. But that's an exception. And generally speaking, the best time, obviously, to look at stars is at night when there is no sunlight.
That's it for this week's Snacks for the Brain. Y'all. Music for today's podcast provided by PodSafe Music Network at music.podshow.com. And I'd just also like to add that today's song was created by a 15-year-old musician named Rory in Rotterdam. Thank you so much, Rory, and keep rocking. As always, y'all, please check out the show notes at snacksforthebrain.blogspot.com. All kinds of links and resources and reference materials there for your podcasting enjoyment. Okay, see ya!